Did Patagonia's CEO just choose climate action over wealth? And will concern over earthquake risk deter the UK PM from bringing fracking back? Welcome to the Climate Recap from the Beckosphere Climate Corner, your go-to place for international and US-based climate news. I'm Becky Hoag, a climate communicator. Today is Monday, September 19th. Let's jump right into today's news. I missed y'all, and boy, did I miss a lot of climate news while I was gone. The Notion doc I mentioned 2 weeks ago have now been fully updated with links, so check it out after you've listened to today's episode if you want more climate news. Okay, let's start with some extreme weather events. NASA announced that this summer, June through August, tied with 2020 for the hottest summer on record globally since its records began in 1880. The US saw its third hottest summer on record, with the Pacific Northwest seeing its hottest summer ever. China and Europe also saw their hottest meteorological summers this year. Meanwhile, the death toll from the unprecedented floods in Pakistan reached nearly 1,500, over a third of which were children. Thousands of people are now without shelter, and waterborne illnesses like dengue and malaria are beginning to spread. Additionally, the country is headed towards a food crisis as its crops are underwater. The country saw 190% of its average rainfall over the last month and a half. This was particularly bad in the Sindh province, which saw 466% of its rainfall. These deluges are absolutely made worse by climate change, as climate change is making the monsoon season there more intense and the mountainous glaciers melt more. That combined with climate change previously drying out the area, which makes it so the soil can't take up as much water, and it has resulted in more deadly landslides and flash floods. The United Arab Emirates, the United Nations, and the United States have provided aid to the area, but Pakistan estimates it will cost about $10 billion to recover. Off the U.S., Hurricane Fiona, a Category 1, struck the southwest coast of Puerto Rico Sunday, knocking out the whole country's power grid and unleashing historical rainfall. As it becomes a tropical cyclone, it dumped another 30 inches or 76 centimeters on the southern and eastern parts of the country so far. This has caused landslides and flash flooding. Hundreds of people were forced to evacuate their homes. President Biden called a state of emergency to open more funding to rescue efforts. The island nation is still experiencing PTSD from Hurricane Maria, which killed over 3,000 people in 2017. Recovery efforts were not prioritized by the U.S. administration at the time, and many of the deaths were due to that fact. This year's Atlantic hurricane season was unexpectedly quiet before this, the quietest it's been since 1997. This is only the sixth named storm of the season. Fiona is now a tropical storm and headed towards the Dominican Republic, but it could strengthen on its way to Bermuda back to a hurricane. On the mainland, strong winds are making the Mosquito Fire, California's largest blaze, difficult to tamp down. A remnant of the state's hottest heat wave in history 2 weeks ago, it has already burned 700,000 acres and destroyed 70 buildings northeast of San Francisco. Some 11,000 residents have had to evacuate. As of writing this, it's been 20% contained. Hopefully the rainfall we've just started having yesterday and today will help the firefighting efforts. Time for a climate study. This study was actually released almost 2 weeks ago at this point, but I think it's so important that I want to talk about it. An analysis of more than 200 studies of past tipping points, climate observations, and modelings has determined that we might have already passed 4 tipping points by warming the world at 1.1 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Tipping points are shifts in the global system to new norms that are irreversible. According to this study, the tips that we might have crossed are the collapse of the Greenland ice shelf, which will result in a foot of sea level rise by 2100, the Western Antarctic ice sheet collapse, which would result in another foot by 2100, tropical coral reef die-off, and the northern permafrost abrupt thaw, which would release methane from the decomposition of ancient plants and animals. Methane is 84 times a more potent greenhouse gas than CO2 for the first 20 years they're in the atmosphere. Now, these tipping points have either been passed or they will likely be passed if we warm the planet at or above 1.5 degrees Celsius. Barents sea ice loss, the Labrador sea current collapse, and mountain glacier collapse could also occur by reaching or surpassing 1.5 degrees Celsius. And tipping points are more likely to cascade the collapse of other tipping points. That sounds really bad, and frankly, it's not good, but it shows how important maintaining the Paris Climate Accord goal of keeping warming at or below 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels is necessary. There are 6 other tipping points we could knock down if we warm the planet to even 2 degrees Celsius. But with all that being said, even the research lead on this study says there's still hope. Quote, we are not saying that because we're probably going to hit some tipping points. Everything is lost and it's game over. Every fraction of a degree that we stop beyond 1.5 degrees Celsius could reduce the likelihood of hitting more tipping points. Now that the U.S. actually has a solid climate law on the books, the goal of 1.5 degrees Celsius is legitimately back to reachable, though we still are on track of warming the planet to about 2.3 degrees Celsius now. The best thing you can do is talk about climate change as often as you can, engage in community action, and vote for politicians who will enact change. Now for some climate victories. The CEO and founder of the outdoor clothing brand Patagonia announced that he is transferring ownership of the $3 billion company to a special trust and nonprofit organization to fight climate change and protect wild spaces. That's about $100 million a year going towards these efforts, and based on Patagonia's donation track record, it's likely this money will truly get put to good use. The Patagonia Purpose Trust will get 2% of the shares, while the newly established nonprofit Holdfast Collective will get the other 98%. Because the collective is a 501c4, it will also be able to make unlimited political contributions, which will likely be in favor of climate action. Yvonne Schollenauer determined this was the right move after his children didn't want to continue with the company, calling all billionaires a failure in the political system. Despite this deal getting him out of paying $700 million in taxes, Schollenauer seems to care more about climate action than maintaining his billionaire status, so this unique restructuring allows him to still have a say in where the funds go. Patagonia will still remain a private for-profit company, and this is practically the only example of a billionaire truly putting their money where their mouth is. So, well done. This next news story starts as a climate victory, but the more you look at it, the less it seems like positive change. The European Parliament voted last week to phase out subsidies for biomass energy that comes from trees. This is an important shift because companies were taking the opportunity to cut down old growth trees, which take decades to replace and are the backbone of forests. So these subsidies have increased deforestation while doing little to tackle climate change. Wood pellets are Europe's largest source of renewable energy right now, and despite this vote, no changes are expected to take place until 2024. There are also a lot of caveats. Some experts say this new law is too vague and will be hard to reinforce. Wood energy from sawdust waste, fallen trees, and trees cut down for fire prevention will still be allowed to receive subsidies too. This also doesn't change the designation of wood pellets as a form of renewable energy, which allows governments to greenwash their energy portfolios for longer. Wood pellets are considered renewable energy because a tree can be replanted, but old growth trees take decades to be replaced, so it's not really renewable. And that leads us into the climate fails. The new UK Prime Minister Liz Truss says she will lift the ban of fracking despite the lack of earthquake risk understanding. Fracking can produce up to a 3.0 magnitude earthquake as it shoots water and chemicals into rocks to release gas and oil, and because it stores liquid waste in rocks afterwards. Recently, a government report was leaked showing that there's little understanding on how to reduce or predict the earthquake potential of fracking sites. Existing rules dictate that fracking must cease if there is a 0.5 magnitude earthquake or more detected, but companies are lobbying to increase this limit. Resuming fracking is part of Truss's plan to reduce energy prices and promote domestic production, but even fossil fuel companies have admitted that it takes time to build up reserves, of which there is not much of in the UK. This also goes against the UK's climate goals, but it's clear Truss doesn't really care about those goals considering she recently appointed a climate skeptic to the role of energy minister, downgraded the animal welfare championing environment minister, and announced new lease sales for oil and gas exploration in the North Sea. In other UK news, British Gas and Worcester Bosch are greenwashing their gas boilers to customers as a green way to heat their homes, calling them hydrogen ready, according to Global Witness. A few problems with this. First, most of these use a hydrogen blend, which means it still mostly runs on gas. Secondly, hydrogen is currently made as a byproduct of gas called blue hydrogen, which isn't clean. Thirdly, this is just another way gas companies are trying to convince people that their infrastructure can easily switch to using hydrogen, which isn't always the case. And finally, heating homes using hydrogen is prohibitively expensive. So even if they did switch the infrastructure to using green hydrogen, which is made via clean energy, it wouldn't make economic sense. This makes no sense for a consumer to purchase when cheaper and cleaner heat pumps are on the market. Over in the U.S., internal emails and documents obtained by the U.S. House Committee of Oversight and Reform shows that fossil fuel companies like BP, Shell, ExxonMobil, Chevron, and Total Energies are still greenwashing themselves. Shocker. The companies have been heavily advertising their algal biofuels and carbon capture and storage while internally showing doubts about the viability and immediacy of these technologies. This lines up with a recent report by Influence Map that shows that only 12% of these fossil fuel companies' portfolios go to low carbon technologies, despite 60% of their advertising efforts highlighting at least one of their climate action points. Part of that 12% includes gas investments, so even that number is generous. These companies are forecast to increase their oil and gas development too, with an exception of BP. More evidence of greenwashing is in the company's About Me pages, where they barely describe themselves as fossil fuel companies. They prefer to call themselves energy companies. Fossil fuel companies have also allegedly made fake grassroots organizations called AstroTurf groups to promote their agenda and sabotage clean energy transition policy efforts. As a result of these findings, House Democrats, led by California's Katie Porter, are probing fossil fuel companies and their PR teams like Edelman for deception and misleading tactics. We'll see if anything comes from these hearings. The PR companies have declined to attend. I want to end today's episode with a reminder that this week is Climate Week in New York City. It goes from today until the 25th, and I'll leave a link below where you can watch some of the events live. And remember to check out the Notion document linked below with all of the climate news that we missed when I was on vacation. And that was your climate recap for Monday, September 19th. If you like the work I do, please follow this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, and consider checking out the Becosphere Climate Corner YouTube channel. Remember to talk about the climate crisis every single day and to support your local news organizations. Bye for now.